Welcome into today's edition of Just the Truth. Glad to have you join me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. Welcome into another busy day. Former lawyer Michael Cohen returned to the witness stand in former President Trump's New York criminal trial yesterday. Cohen portrayed himself as Trump's go-to fixer and said he made secret recordings of the former president as well, and admitted that he wants to see Trump convicted. While we're talking about court proceedings, Hunter Biden's legal team appeared to seek a delay for his impending June 3rd trial date set for Delaware, which was set by a federal judge 2 months ago. Judge is not buying it, says that they're going to proceed with the trial. As you know, New York City's been struggling with a massive illegal migrant crisis. Mayor Eric Adams has an idea. The mayor says that there are excellent swimmers, referring to the illegals. So why not let the illegals be part of the solution for the city's lifeguard shortage? I'm not making this up, folks. And Joe Biden just doesn't get it because he's confused himself once again. He's speaking with Yahoo News and repeats his false claim that inflation was at 9% when he took office, when he was just called out on this last week on CNN.
I told you we'd be back.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It's Joey Hudson.
I wanted to name it the Joey Hudson Bill, but you know, they don't allow you to name put names on bills, but I wanted to call it the Joey Hudson Bill because I know that one's been near and dear to you for a number of years.
That's how it's done. Let your voice be heard.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here's Joey Hudson.
Let's start with a quick update of the Trump trial. Day 17 yesterday, Michael Cohen was back on the witness stand. Cohen testified that he struggles to sleep at night and turned to the social media app, TikTok, for an out, he said. When questioned by Trump attorney, Cohen says that he hosts a TikTok live for over an hour every night to build an audience, create a community, and vent because he's having a difficult time sleeping and he found an out, he said, in TikTok. Cohen confirmed that he speaks about Trump on X, formerly Twitter. Trump's attorney asked if Cohen has regularly commented on his podcast about wanting to see Trump convicted in this case. Cohen says that he's probably said that, and he wants to see accountability. He then confirmed that he wants to see Trump actually convicted. The defense referenced Cohen's website and a link to a $32 shirt with a photo of Trump in jumpsuit behind bars. Another item says Convict 45, an image of a coffee mug with the phrase, send him to the big house, not the White House. Cohen confirmed that those are references to Trump. Trump's attorney asked if Cohen wore the t-shirt last week on one of his TikTok videos, which Cohen confirmed. I mean, how did we get to this point to where Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, fix-it man, is doing TikTok live every night, wearing t-shirts, hoping that his former boss gets convicted. Trump's attorney grilled Cohen about negative statements that he's made online and to news media about Trump and his lawyers. The Trump attorneys leading the cross-examination asked Cohen if he once called the Trump attorney a crying little bee on TikTok. Cohen replied that it sounds like something he would say. On April 23rd, Cohen referred to Trump as a dictator douchebag. Cohen recalls saying that Trump belongs in a cage like a effing animal also on April 23rd. The Trump attorney asked if the district attorney's office has reportedly asked Cohen to stop publicly commenting about the case. Cohen agreed that yes, he had been asked to stop commenting. Cohen says that when the DA's office says, probably better off if you don't speak about it, they say it in a manner that's asking him not to speak. Cohen says that they ask him not to speak to the press less than five times. Over the course of the investigation and case, Cohen has made more than 20 television appearances. He's recorded hundreds of podcast episodes, four total episodes a week all year long since the investigation for the trial started. Cohen agrees that Trump has been mentioned in every single podcast. Now, keep in mind, this is Donald Trump's fix-it man. You think he's a bit bitter? Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's prosecution team informed Judge Juan Merchan yesterday that Michael Cohen will be the prosecution's last witness just before he took the stand for cross-examination. This disclosure from the prosecutor, Joshua Steinglass, occurred during a sidebar conversation that was out of earshot of reporters but recorded in the official court transcript. So maybe we are getting closer to turning this over to the defense and to a settlement in this case, getting something resolved. I mean, 17 days, tomorrow's number 18 on a case like this where there's no charges, where there's no evidence that the president did anything wrong. Meanwhile, in a resurfaced video, Michael Cohen is shown speaking at what appears to be a church building in 2016, offering lots of praise for then-candidate Donald Trump as being a generous, compassionate, and genuine man. He said in the video, "I want to tell you about the real Donald Trump, the man who I've been fortunate enough to work for." He was seen standing on the pulpit in this what appeared to be a church. He said the words the media should be using to describe Mr. Trump are generous, compassionate, principled, empathetic, kind, humble, honest, genuine. Wow. And now he's testifying against him and wants him to, hopes that he's convicted on a crime that Michael Cohen, better than anyone knows, really isn't a crime, really isn't something that Donald Trump did. Cohen said in the video that every day, Mr. Trump quietly and without seeking recognition does something to help others. He went on to give examples of when Trump, as the head of the Trump Organization, helped hurting businesses and paid tuition for the daughter of a service member. Cohen, of course, is the star witness in District Attorney Alvin Bragg's case in New York versus Trump, which I guess the good news is that if Michael Cohen is the star witness, then Donald Trump may be in pretty good shape. Also yesterday, the appellate division of the New York Supreme Court denied Donald Trump's appeal of the gag order imposed by Judge Juan Merchan. The appellate division wrote in its order, "We find that Justice Merchan properly weighed petitioner's First Amendment rights against the court's historical commitment to ensuring the fair administration of justice in criminal cases and the right of the persons related to the criminal proceedings from being free from threats, intimidation, harassment, and harm." Trump's lawyers will now have the opportunity to appeal to the New York Court of Appeals. Trump campaign spokesperson Stephen Chang said, "The gag order imposed by conflicted Judge Juan Merchan in the lawless Manhattan DA case is unconstitutional and un-American. The threat to throw the 45th president of the United States and the leading candidate in the 2024 presidential election in jail for exercising his First Amendment rights is a third world authoritarian tactic typical of crooked Joe Biden and his comrades." Meanwhile, since President Trump can't speak for himself, there's been a parade of Trump supporters speaking daily in his favor out in front of the courthouse, including former 2024 presidential contender Vivek Ramaswamy, Florida Representative Byron Donalds, slamming the ongoing New York versus Trump trial as a sham promoted by Democrats ahead of the 2024 election. Ramaswamy had this to say outside of the New York courthouse today.
"Thank you. I want to thank my colleagues, Governor Burgum, Congressman Mills, and Congressman Donalds for laying out the political backdrop here. This is a politicized persecution that is nakedly apparent. What I want to do is dive a little bit deeper into what we actually learned today in that courtroom. What do we see in there? First of all, I learned a lot from being in there in person. It is one of the most depressing places I have been in my life, but it is fitting because the only thing more depressing than the environment of that courtroom is what's actually happening in there. It's straight out of a Kafka novel. The prosecution's main strategy appears to be to bore the jurors into submission. And if you look in that direction, sadly, it may appear to actually be working. Now, I would like for anybody here in the press, anybody at home, anybody in MSNBC or the media afterwards, to clearly state what exactly is the crime that Donald Trump committed. Oh, wait. We have not heard a good answer to that question. It has been vague until today. You heard Michael Cohen's testimony, after which I would say it is less clear than ever what that crime actually was. They'll say falsifying business records. Well, let's look at who did we learn falsified business records today? Yet, what, hour, 2 hours? Felt like it could have been 7 hours of Michael Cohen talking about how he falsified business records. Okay, so you have a guy who has been a perjurer in the past that is now saying he falsified business records. What is the crime that Donald Trump committed? Now, it appears to be what they might allege is some sort of bookkeeping error or whatever. The real bookkeeping that we need accounting of is Judge Merchant's own family member collecting millions of dollars as a Democratic operative, using the existence of this trial as a fundraising ploy for Democrats. This is unconscionable. Imagine if the same shoe fit the other foot. Imagine if it was Joe Biden that was on trial. You had a Republican judge whose son was collecting millions of dollars as a Republican operative. What would you all be saying? This would not be justice. This is injustice at its worst. So let's go even a layer deeper, right? Because let's go even a layer deeper, actually. The alleged crime here is supposedly, they try to point to this every day, that he does not actually use campaign funds, that he used personal funds. Well, let's get this straight. Suppose Donald Trump had used campaign funds to make a personal expense, they'd be going after him for that. So if they're going to get him going or they're going to get him coming, that is the best proof that this is a politicized sham.
And a politicized sham it is. Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, Joey, at joeyhudson.com. Soon going to be 4 years ago that I started my journey with PhD weight loss and nutrition. I lost 30 pounds pretty quickly, I might add. And I've been able to maintain that for almost 4 years now. It'll be 4 years coming up in July. If this is the year that you have decided that you're going to get healthy, that you're going to lose that weight, that visceral fat that's so damaging around your waist, then now's the time to start. Let me encourage you to make that call today. 864-252-4925. Set up your initial consultation with PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. Boy, am I glad that I met Dr. Ashley Lucas 4 years ago, and that she got me on the right path to getting healthy. You're going to be able to do things that you may have thought you'd never be able to do again. Play with the kids, the grandkids, be able to hike and walk and maybe play a full 18-round hole of golf and be able to do it and not get so winded. Because when you take that excess weight off, you're just going to feel better. You're going to be able to focus. You're going to be able to sleep better. Your overall health is just going to be improved. 864-252-4925. Call, set up your initial consultation. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, the official partner of the Clemson Tigers. Seems like the political world is just focusing on the courtroom these days, as we have watched the circus in New York City over the past 17 days. Today would be 18 in the Trump trial. Meanwhile, the Biden family, they have their own legal issues. Hunter Biden's legal team appeared to seek a delay for his impending trial coming up, set for June 3rd presently. The federal judge set this 2 months ago. And Hunter Biden's team is now saying, well, judge, we're not quite ready yet. We're not ready to sit down in front of you and lay out our case or defend our case, I guess, defend our client against the charges against him. As you know, the first son is being charged by special counsel David Weiss. He was not in attendance in the federal courthouse in Delaware's largest city, Wilmington, but attorney Abby Lowell, as well as special counsel David Weiss, were. Weiss sat in court taking notes during the proceedings. Special counsel attorney Derek Hines told the court that the Biden matter is a simple case, and that he was prepared to go forward with U.S. District Judge Mary Ellen Norica's June 3rd trial date. And it is a pretty simple case. Nothing complex about it at all, other than the fact it involves Hunter Biden, the president's son. That's the only complication in this case, is who the defendant is. Nothing about the case is complicated. If it were you and I, if we were the ones being charged, there wouldn't be any question as to when the trial would be had. You and I would have already been tried and probably convicted and would be in jail by now. That's the judicial hypocrisy of the Biden administration. They have used the Department of Justice to prosecute or persecute, I should say, Donald Trump, yet they've also used that same Department of Justice to shield the real crooks. And in this case, it's Hunter Biden, part of the Biden crime family. You know, it's kind of interesting. Yesterday, I I sat in for my buddy Mike Gallagher. And by the way, I'll be doing so again today. Tune in later this morning, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And I had a caller who wanted to challenge me on what exactly the Biden family had done. He was defending Joe Biden. He was, and I brought a, I asked him the question, well, how do you explain Hunter Biden? How do you explain the fact that the president's son, who has no special knowledge of energy and was paid millions of dollars for sitting on the board of directors of this Ukrainian oil company, Burisma? He didn't have any answers. He couldn't explain it, of course, because there is no explanation. Hunter Biden, so far, has lived a life of luxury. His dad, U.S. Senator Joe Biden, then Vice President Joe Biden, has shielded him from the real world. Hunter Biden is about to find out what the real world is all about, though, I think. He almost slipped by. Tuesday afternoon, Judge Norica, rejected the Biden's request to delay the trial. So as it is set for now, his case will start next month, June the 3rd, according to the Associated Press. Hines predicted the trial would take less than a week. And you can predict that because, again, it's a simple case. Not a lot of details in this case. Lowell told Norica, Judge Norica, we're not ready for the start date, which appeared to frustrate the judge. Norica asked Lowell for an explanation, pushing back that the case is not complicated. Mr. Lowell said that he's working on both Biden's Delaware and California cases simultaneously and instead proposed a September trial date in Wilmington. So it's set for June the 3rd. He wants to wait till the fall in September, which I'm not quite understanding that because I would think that he would want to get this over with and not have it come up in September right in the heat of the campaign. But I'm sure he has his strategy here. He indicated that he plans to file an appeal by today, with the Third Circuit seeking an injunction to block the trial from commencing before merit-based motions are worked through. A 56-page indictment against Biden was handed down back in Los Angeles in December, which included felony charges and laid out his salacious spending habits and lifestyle while cataloging alleged related tax violations that we know he's done, because his buddy, his rich buddy, has paid millions of dollars for taxes for him. In Delaware, other issues scheduled to be presented in court pertain to admissibility of some of the evidence. Both the defense and prosecution reported to being preparing motions to exclude certain information from the jury as part of a typical timeline that you'll find in any case like this, in normal litigation. One argument from the special counsel's office questioned why the jury should not hear the reasons Delaware state law enforcement did not charge Biden with a 2018 count relating to the first son's application for and possession of a firearm while using controlled substances. I'm not sure why the jury shouldn't hear that. Can you think of a reason? Love to get your text message. Tell me a reason why the jury shouldn't hear this. You can email me directly too, joey@joeyhudson.com. Another court document reflected evidence from the 2018 police report in which Beau Biden's widow, Hallie, who was in a relationship with Hunter at the time, purportedly tossed the gun in a trash receptacle near the A.I. DuPont High School in Greenville, Delaware. A federal appeals court decided against tossing the gun charges after Biden asked the Philadelphia-based Third Circuit to dismiss them. Why should the charges be dismissed? They shouldn't. And the court got this one right for once. Again, you and I would have already been tried. You and I would have already been convicted. You and I would probably already be in jail. The only reason Hunter Biden is not is because who daddy is. Because his last name is Biden. That's the only reason. And it's time that the judge, and I think maybe we're seeing this. I think finally we're seeing that there's a judge, there's a prosecutor who knows that they can no longer protect the Biden family. And they're going to have to treat him like anyone else, or as closely as they possibly can, because the American people are on to him. The American people are tired of Joe Biden and the Biden crime family getting by with all the things that they've done for all these years. You agree? Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, Joey, at joeyhudson.com. Continuing today's show, as you know, New York City's been struggling with a massive illegal immigrant crisis. Mayor Eric Adams has an idea. The mayor says that these illegals are excellent swimmers. So why not let the illegals be part of the solution for the city's lifeguard shortage? Now, I'm not making this up. I'm not creative enough to make this up. Here's the story. New York City Mayor Eric Adams yesterday called for illegals to be allowed to work as lifeguards as the city faces a shortage for this role as we head into the summer, arguing that many are, quote, excellent swimmers. Wonder how he knows that they're excellent swimmers. Why would an illegal immigrant be an excellent swimmer unless he just knows that they're swimming across the Rio Grande? Adams was asked at a press conference about a lifeguard shortage in the city as Memorial Day nears and everybody's going to be headed to the pools. He said that the situation could be helped if, quote, we had a migrant and asylum seeker plan that states those jobs that we are in high demand for, that we could expedite their process. Now, again, you think I'm making this up, don't you? I'm going to let you hear Eric Adams for yourself. Here he is.
If we had a migrant and asylum seeker plan that states those jobs that we are in high demand, we could expedite. How do we have a large body of people that are in our city and country that are excellent swimmers, and at the same time, we need lifeguards? And the only obstacle is that we won't give them the right to work to become a lifeguard. That just doesn't make sense. But if we had a plan that say you have a shortage of food service workers and those who fit the criteria, we're going to expedite you. If you have the experience that you are a nurse, which you have a nursing shortage, and we would expedite you. And that's the same with lifeguards. So we have all these eligible people waiting to work with the skills we need to fill the jobs, but we're unable to allow them to work because bureaucracy is in the way.
As you heard, he listed off all these other occupations, food service workers, nurses, where the Big Apple may face shortages. The city has been grappling, of course, with this crisis that's literally just taken over the city in recent years. Officials said that they've had more than over a million people, over a million illegal immigrants who have entered the shelter system since 2022, and more than 65,000 are still in the shelter system. Adams is one of a number of Blue City mayors who've called for additional funding and expedited work permits amid other moves from the federal government. He wants to be able to put them in jobs, let them earn their own way. A spokesperson for Mayor Adams earlier this week told Fox News that a national humanitarian crisis requires a national solution. The spokesperson said they continued to call on New Yorkers to urge the federal government for meaningful financial support to create a national resettlement strategy for migrants and to finish the job they started by allowing the hundreds of thousands of those they let into this country to immediately work. I think what you need to do, Mayor, is to call your president and ask him why he continues to let these people come in. If you can't handle the ones that are here now, don't you think we need to stop? Don't you think that's the smart thing to do? But the comments yesterday by Adams drew some sharp criticism, as you might guess, from conservatives. Some of who compared them to New York's Governor Kathy Hochul's recent claim that black children in the Bronx don't know the word computer, a statement that she later reversed. Commenter Dana Lesh said, So the New York governor thinks black kids in the Bronx don't know what computers are, and the mayor thinks that illegal immigrants should be lifeguards because they're excellent swimmers. The GOP should be making ads off these insane elements. And she's right. Stephen Miller said, I can't tell you what he said, actually. You'll have to look that one up for yourself. Mayor Adams and the city of New York, again, have been struggling. We know that, to deal with the onslaught of illegals. But by the way, they're the ones who decided that New York City would be a sanctuary city, right? No one forced that on them. No one told Mayor Adams nor the city of New York that you had to be, that they had to be a sanctuary city. They decided that themselves. They decided they were going to open their city with open arms and welcome all who wants to come. And I get it. New York City is sort of the symbol of that. Ellis Island, where so many legal immigrants came through and became U.S. citizens. That's the big difference, though. The ones that are out on the streets in front of the Roosevelt Hotel and some of the other areas of Manhattan, which they've just taken over the streets, they didn't come here with good intentions. Some of the programs that New York has tried to deal with this, of course, are the prepaid debit cards that reportedly many of the illegals are getting who are living in the Big Apple. The first batch of debit cards reportedly meant to be used by the illegal immigrants to purchase food, baby supplies, were handed out back in March. They did a trial program, we're told. The effort's part of a reported $53 million pilot program to hand out prepaid credit cards to migrant families who are housed in the hotels, despite the public outcry, despite the citizens in New York not wanting them in their city and not taking over the hotels, not taking over the streets. The program, which the mayor's office confirmed, would provide migrant families of four with two children under five and with up to $350 each week until the end of their stay, began with a limited number of families, we're told, and will expand to about 115 families, which are probably already there, roughly 460 people. Again, it was a pilot program. Started back in March. No updates on how it's going or how it went. We don't even know if it's still if it's still an ongoing thing or not. The prepaid cards, we're told, were to be used for grocery stores, supermarkets, convenience stores. The illegal immigrants eligible for the program had to sign an affidavit stating that they would only spend the funds on food and baby supplies or else they could lose access to the funds. Now, let's digest that for a minute. You've got someone who came into the country illegally to begin with. You're asking them to sign an affidavit that they'll promise not to use it for anything but to buy food and baby supplies. You think that that affidavit means anything to them? You think that piece of paper that they sign means anything at all to someone who's here illegally? Also, the mayor's office confirmed that this pilot program was launched using a phased approach, started with only a few hotels that were being considered. Again, we haven't had an update, so we don't know if it was a success, and maybe it's already been expanded. City officials have noted that the cards would be loaded with 1 week's worth of funds at a time, and their use would be monitored. The cards were reportedly being distributed at the city's arrival center, the Roosevelt Hotel in Manhattan. And by the way, a few weeks back when Peg and I were in Manhattan, I couldn't help myself. I wanted to go by the Roosevelt. I wanted to see this firsthand. It is a mess. The streets were littered. You had these, I assume, illegals. They were of Hispanic descent running around the streets. People were literally walking across the street to avoid walking down the sidewalk closest to the hotel. According to the mayor's office program, was being facilitated by New Jersey company Mobility Capital Finance. They had partnered with the city to issue these cards. Under the pilot program, which is expected again to last 6 weeks, we don't know if it's been discontinued or not. No news of the extension or not. We're told that the migrants could receive more money from the city than the state gives to low-income and elderly New Yorkers under SNAP benefits. Now, let that sink in, too. I'm going to read it again, straight from this report. Illegals, through this debit card program, would receive more money from the city than the state of New York gives to low-income and elderly American citizens. What's wrong with that picture? How do we possibly do that in America today? According to the state's website, single households were eligible for $291 a month in SNAP benefits aimed at providing low-income working people, senior citizens, the disabled, and others money to buy food products. I got an idea. Rather than spending the $53 million, and it's probably more by now, on illegals, why don't you put that $53 million in this program for the American citizens who are senior citizens, who are disabled, who are veterans? Give them more benefits. Give them more money. Send the illegals back to where from whence they came. New York City's government has projected it will spend at least $10.6 billion, billion dollars, on illegals by the summer of 2025. Why would they want to do this? Why would they not stop this right now? You got any ideas? Can you help me out here? Love to get your comments. You can text me. You can email me. Joey@JoeyHudson.com. Joey@JoeyHudson.com. Love to get your comments. Help me out here. Help me understand how I live in a country that has a major city like New York City who is spending millions and will eventually spend billions of dollars on illegals rather than American citizens. I'm waiting to hear from you. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, joey@joeyhudson.com. Speaking of the Furman Ford text line, you know, it's never been more important to support locally run businesses owned by people who actually live here in the upstate. Let me take a minute to talk with you about our friends at Furman Ford. If you're looking for a new vehicle, maybe a great pre-owned vehicle, one you can trust, or maybe you're looking to order that special vehicle. Either way, if you want a new one, a brand new one, or a pre-owned that you can trust, the folks at Furman Ford, they're there to help you. Their name is on the sign because their name is on the line, because every single transaction is important to them. Jim Furman, Matthew Furman. They do business the right way. When you stop by, when you give them a call, or maybe when you just send them a quick email, you're always going to have access to a member of the Furman Ford family. And by the way, they also offer great service, and you're not going to have to wait weeks and weeks to get it done. And you do not have had to purchase your vehicle at Furman Ford. Doesn't even have to be a Ford. They service all makes and models. Visit my friends at Furman Ford online at FurmanFord.com. FurmanFord.com. Tony writes, Joey, no ID is proof of Democrats wanting illegals to vote in all elections. Mary, so good to hear Speaker Johnson showing up and presenting the case for Donald Trump. Although some Republicans are on the warpath against the Speaker because of some of his budget decisions, he is a committed Christian and a very honorable man and an attorney, he says. It's wonderful to hear someone in a position of the Speaker of the House shoring up what Trump is saying, although so many of us love Donald for the way he is fighting for capitalism and defending our children and grandchildren from having to live in a communist nation. He needs our representative standing beside him to legitimize everything he is saying. Appreciate your text, Mary. Ray text, morning, Joey. I've had a MAGA hat for 5 years, but have not worn it very much so as not to create conflict. Today, I put it on and went to the grocery store. Several people said they liked it. I intend to continue wearing it every day. What are they going to do? Beat me up? If they need to attack a 76-year-old over a hat, so be it. We must all be bold in the cause of freedom. Just think of what our founding fathers dared to do, and think of what our military and law enforcement officers risk every day. It feels good to stand up for freedom. Thanks for what you do. Wish those on the other side could hear it. Thank you, Ray. And look, Ray, wear that MAGA cap very proudly everywhere you go. Do not be concerned with what people think about you wearing a cap that signifies your support of Donald Trump and what that stands for. Susan writes on the text line, if Biden had his way, not only wouldn't we have a Congress, we wouldn't have a Supreme Court either. You're probably right, Susan. Again, I've said it many times in the past. Joe Biden is in the wrong country. He should have been born in England and been a king or a prince or something, because he thinks that he should rule like a king would. It's his say or no say. Texter writes, "Hey, Joey, glad to hear you back on the radio filling in for Mike. Take care and God bless, John in Forest City." Thank you, John. Appreciate that. John must have been listening to me as I filled in for the Mike Gallagher Show. I'll be doing that again today between 9 a.m. and 12 noon. So tune in if you listen to the Mike Gallagher Show. I hope you will. Texter says, "Homeownership is becoming a dream of the past. Also, be mindful that rents have increased dramatically as home prices increase, so do rents." This is in reference to a segment I did yesterday, how the dream of owning a home is just that now. It is a dream for some because of the increase in prices of homes and because of mortgage interest rates. Texter, "Hey, Joey, has California figured out how to tax bicycles and skates yet?" Oh, they will. I'm sure that's on their list. Don't give them any ideas. Texter, "Joey, did the Fannie Willis case really get closed down?" I think it is for now. Fannie Willis has her own problems, I don't think she necessarily is focusing on Donald Trump right now. Texter, "Joey, I saw on TikTok Atlanta Fulton County court case had been ended. I couldn't open the TikTok program. Is the story true?" Yes, it is. But I wouldn't depend on TikTok for my news if I were you. One texter just says, "Bidenomics sucks." Yep, I get you. You're not feeling the same joy that Joe Biden is, are you? Texter, "Joey, if you're better off now than 4 years ago, you must be an illegal." Roger. Thank you, Roger. Texter, "Good morning, Joey. It's Kevin from Tigertown." Hey, good to hear from you again, Kevin. "Me and my fiance have a beautiful lake lot in Townville ready to build on, and my contractor says the only thing we can afford at this point is a tiny house or a big camper. It's just so sad and disheartening and frustrating. We both make good money, but we're not paying a $3,500 to $4,000 house payment." And again, this is what I was talking about yesterday, Kevin, that the dream of owning a home is just elusive for some right now. Your text messages are welcome as well. Our text of encouragement today from Joel, as usual. He writes, "Ability is what you're capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do. Attitude determines how well you do it." Your comments are welcome as well as your emails, joey@joeyhudson.com. Joe Biden just doesn't get it, does he? Is he just confused? Once again, And this time he was speaking to Yahoo News, and that should be a tip-off if you're talking to Yahoo News. Biden repeated again the false claim that inflation was at 9% when he took office after being called out last week on it by CNN when he made the same statement on CNN. He argues that now that it's hovering around 3%, which is still above what his target is, his administration's target is 2%. It's 3.5% now, so it's still higher than it should be. But he wants you to believe that he took it from 9% down. Well, fact check. When Joe Biden entered the White House, it was 1.4% when he took the oath of office January 2021. Why do you think Joe Biden continues to make these false statements? Wouldn't you think he would learn by now that people are listening? I mean, he's standing there talking to this reporter as he's making the announcement on the increased tariffs on China. He's defending his handling of the economy while acknowledging the impact inflation has had on Americans. Here's the exchange between Joe Biden and Yahoo News yesterday.
"Why don't households feel wealthy right now?"
"Well, first of all, if you look at the report coming out of the Michigan survey, over 60% of the people in America feel they're personally in good shape. They're personally in good shape. But they look out and they say the rest of the world's not in good shape. Other people aren't in good shape. I think inflation has gone slightly up. It was at 9% when I came in, and it's now down around 3%.
It was at 9% when I came in. He made the same claim last week to CNN's Aaron Burnett, who, just like this reporter from Yahoo, didn't challenge him at the time. Biden told Burnett, "No president has had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came into office." 9%, he repeated. Several media outlets fact-checked Biden's comments. Snopes gave it a false rating. According to factcheck.org, a White House official explained Biden was trying to convey contributing factors to inflation like the supply chain crisis, which had already been occurring before Biden took office. Biden faced renewed criticism on social media after making the comment. Representative Jim Banks reacted, "All Biden does is lie," all caps. Washington Examiner editor-in-chief Hugo Gurdon wrote, "Dems wonder why the message isn't working. It's because the message is that Dems think voters are fools." GOP strategist Logan Dobson, "Used to be very important for all the very serious democracy defenders to denounce the president when he tells outright lies. Used to be." And you know, that's part of it. That's a good point. Joe Biden has repeated some of his fabricated tales so many times, and he's been called out on them so many times that we become immune to them. People just ignore it. "Oh, that's just Uncle Joe. There's Uncle Joe again lying. That's how he does." He's the president of the United States. He's running for re-election. He's asking the people of our country to let him sit in that same chair for another 4 years. Polls continue to show that Biden is trailing Donald Trump in key swing states, particularly on issues impacting voters like the economy. Biden was a bit defensive in the CNN interview regarding the economy, declaring, "We've already turned it around," he said. He thinks that we have turned the economy around. Has it turned around for you? Would you agree that Joe Biden has turned the economy around? Love to get your comments. Send me a quick email, joey@joeyhudson.com. That's it for today's edition of Just the Truth. Thanks for joining me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. If you haven't joined our mailing list yet, visit my website, joeyhudson.com. Just click on the Connect with Joey button so that you can receive our emails and the most up-to-date news. Also, find me on YouTube. Be sure and like, subscribe, follow me on my YouTube channel. Just search for Joey Hudson. Appreciate you spending a few minutes of your day with me. Be sure and forward this edition of Just the Truth to some friends. Just click on the share button. Send it to a few of your contacts, because if we're going to build our community and we're going to win in the June primaries, and if we're going to win in November especially, we got to build an army of conservatives. The way we beat Joe Biden is through educating people, and no better way than encouraging them to listen to Just the Truth. Hey, keep those comments coming via the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Your emails always welcome as well, joey@joeyhudson.com. We're back again tomorrow. Hope you will be too. Remember, God's got this. He's still in control.